You're listening to The Wicked Horror Show, powered by the Dorkening Podcast Network. For more information, check out thedorkening.com.
Deadly Grounds Coffee knows how important your coffee is to you. Every batch is roasted to perfection with a unique special method that brings out the richest, deepest, smoothest flavor you'll ever find. We're coffee freaks too, and deadly serious about our brew. Just one sip and you'll know why we say, once you go deadly, you don't go back. It's truly coffee to die for. So when you're ready to get a little deadly, get online and order yours at getdeadly.com. It's coffee so good, it's scary.
Hey everybody, it's Tuesday night. I'm Kevin. It's another live Wicked Horror Show. As always, I'm joined by Tony Has Nine Fingers.
What is going on, people?
And Tony, would you like to introduce our very special guest?
Sure. She does a little bit of everything from a assassin to a demon to now writing and directing. We always talk about TikTok and how it's, my TikTok's growing a little bit. But I started talking to her through TikTok, found out she was an actress, and found out that she kind of is intermingled with some other guests that we've had on before. But let me get into it. Ember Burns, how are you?
Hi, guys. Amber. How are you tonight?
Pretty good. Thanks for coming on. So, yeah, Tony, you said that you met her on TikTok, and you realized that she's rubbed shoulders with a bunch of our previous guests. So how did that out? Was it something where, Ember, did you reach out to him? Like, did you like ask him if he had one of your movies, or was it something like
that? It was a little different, like, because the one thing when trying to, I guess this is a little bit behind the scenes of the podcast, to try to book some people, usually on Instagram or whatever, I'll kind of go through people we had on and see other. It's also good to, especially being a horror fan, always going through and finding different movies, because sometimes it's not right in front of you. You gotta go through the woodwork to find certain things. So that's what I, you know, kind of do on Instagram. And then on TikTok, I'm doing the same thing, looking, because everybody has their little header. And I think I saw Ember once, and it was like actress and all this stuff. And then I saw some stuff that she was in, so I reached out. And then I think I was live one time, and then I did Messenger. I'm like, oh, well, if you ever want to come promote your stuff, I have a podcast, so, you know, at least come on. And I think I was the one to reach out, but then you kind of came back full circle kind of deal.
Yeah, I remember just scrolling through, finding one of your videos, following your page, and then your live pops up then if you follow the page if that person's live. And I generally like to just pop into live chance, and I just stay quiet because the comments roll so fast. It's very rare someone will see something and answer you back, especially when you have a lot of people commenting at once. But I enjoy your TikTok live because you get a lot of people throwing out random videos that, like, I've never even heard of. But it's the fact that, like, as soon as they throw it out, you're like, bam, it's here, bam, it's here, bam, it's here. And I'm like, oh, my God. Like,
it's a collector intense mind.
Yeah, it is. He knows exactly where things are, and we're both collectors. He's definitely, I've like pumped the brakes quite a bit on the physical media, just because of space and money. But you know, he I'll live through him, and I'm like super happy for him that it's taken off on TikTok, because I know he was trying for a really long time on YouTube, and it's really tough to like really kind of stand out on YouTube, you know. But first off, Sergio's in the chat room, wanted to say hi. What's up, Sergio? He's always in the chat room, he's the man, he knows that. But yeah, so if you check the show notes, there's a bunch of links to some shorts, a music video, and a feature length. So even if you're listening to this a week from now, just check the show notes and you'll have links to all that stuff if you want to check any of it out. A lot of really cool stuff. You know, it's the thing with shorts is it's like, you know, there was definitely a few in there where I'm just like, this could definitely be expanded into a feature. Like, I wonder if they ever would, you know, but I don't know.
Did I send you guys Acquitted?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, that's one I wish that they would have done a full feature of that, especially now, where it's always been the underlining message of the short Acquitted has always been there. But especially now, after going through the Black Lives Matter movement and everything along those lines, that would be just a phenomenal horror short now to be.
Oh, totally. I mean, because that's the thing is it's, you know, there's been a few directors that have kind of not like right in your face, like commented on it, like Jordan Peele, stuff like that. But, you know, it is something where maybe a movie that it is right in your face, that would be appropriate. But yeah, it was pretty cool. And I liked, even though it's obviously a low budget short, like it still looked really good. You know, like even like the finger extensions and stuff. Like I was just like, yeah, I could tell kind of what it was, but at the same time, it was good, you know?
Yeah, that was an interesting makeup process day. I was standing in this kitchen with like these long fingers and these white out contacts, and this person's like spray painting me white. And then I had to crawl underneath a bed, and these white out contacts in the blue lighted room, I couldn't even see in front of me. So I'm just like guessing as I'm like doing things. But
yeah,
it was that was definitely a great film. Did you guys happen to watch all the way after the credits in that one?
Yes.
I missed it. I'm going to have to go back. And you, I guess with me, it's always like feature lengths always have that thing. So shorts, I didn't realize that. Silly on me, but I'll definitely go back.
I always wait till the very, very end until like, especially on YouTube, until it's the next suggestions or whatever. Like, I always do, because you never know. Same thing with the feature, like credits started rolling and then all of a sudden there was more, you know? Mm-hmm. And I'm like, oh yeah, that's when I go to the movies with my wife, I tend to want to wait around until it's all done. And she's like, come on, let's go. But every once in a while she's like, okay, I get it.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I think it's good because you're like, okay, I can relax now after that. If it was intense and all of a sudden it's like, no, I'm not done. This is crazy. All right. But, so yeah, so that I think that would definitely be appropriate to be stretched out to a full length feature. How long ago was that one made?
Oh my God. It's like so hard to like judge time because I feel like 2020 just like wiped us out of like a whole year and a half of our life. So that one, I want to say it was filmed in probably 2017. Yeah. Because that one was filmed, and then that same year we filmed 1015 Grove, Holly Lane.
Okay.
Which is the director of that one was the editor and like assistant director on 1015 Holly Grove Lane. So
okay. Yeah. That's cool. So yeah, that the thing is that was definitely an appropriate subject matter back then, and it unfortunately is equally, if not more, you know, a appropriate subject matter for a horror movie. So yeah, I mean, who knows, maybe one day, you know, sometimes people go back and revisit the shorts and be like, yeah, I can do something with this. But
well, that's
go ahead.
I think most of not most, but a good chunk of it nowadays is coming from shorts. Like Smile came from a short. Mm-hmm. And like other ones are coming from, okay, I've seen this, got in contact, and we decided to make something with it. So
yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, go back and watch the short for Mama.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah,
yeah.
Yeah. And then we had the director on for Slapface a while back after we'd met him up in Buffalo, and that he made a feature out of that was like a Shudder exclusive, so that came out. Yeah, I mean it's smart. Like you're getting like proof of concept out there. You're getting people like, if you know that they're interested. You know, and then from there, it's like, all right, let's do this. You know, I mean, I've never made a film, so I don't know. I mean, I'm sure it's very difficult, but I've never made a film. So I've acted kind of in one, and I've been a zombie in one.
Okay.
So it was murdered. But that was it. And
I've been a zombie.
Yeah. I had to drive home from like upstate New York back to Massachusetts in most of my zombie makeup. Mm. So that was interesting. I'm sure you know the joys of that.
The role, something, I was in all white and I got shot in the head, and then I was just like starving afterwards. And I'm literally at Buffalo Wild Wings, just eating mini corn dogs with like a big gaping wound in my head and like blood just dribbling down. And I'm like, these are the best corn dogs ever.
You see people staring at you. You should have like dipped the corn dog in the back of your head and then eaten it. Like, oh, this is great. Yeah. That would have been awesome. So, you know, looking at your IMDb, it's listed that you've released projects. It's like 32 projects and you have 7 on the way. So that is a lot. When did this all start for you?
So I was working for a radio show called Voice It Radio, Hot Mess in the Morning. I was the third co-host, and one of my jobs was to find interesting people to interview during our like interview portion once a week, to actually like bring them in and like do something with them and everything like that. And I found a makeup artist in the community who was doing an independent film, which is actually the film that I was a zombie in. The director, Roger Connors, redid the Night of the Living Dead. It's called Rebirth. And he did it with a nice LGBT twist to it, where he actually plays Barbara, and his brother is a thug tattooed, like gangster kind of dude. Like, he made it more realistic today, but kept it so much like the original. So that's a great one on Amazon if you wanted to watch that one.
Oh, definitely.
But with that, with the makeup artist being on set, he's like, hey, I have a couple roles that are opening up. And with my modeling, I am not shy to being fully nude. And he's like, they're fully nude roles. I don't know if you want them. And I'm like, hell yeah. So I did them. And then I was like 1 foot in the door and I realized I really liked it, but I don't like playing the mother, daughter, sister, love interest, or gushy long dialogue roles. I just want to either be the murderer or the murdered and just like get it done.
Yeah.
So
I feel you. Like I don't think I would do well at all if I had to like have like, you know, a serious conversation with somebody on screen, you know, like on screen. I don't think it would go very well. But I would love to be the killer or the killed. I've always like thought of getting into it a little bit, but I just don't know how to start. So I'm just going to use that as an excuse to why I didn't.
Yeah. I use this as my example. As much as I love the director, Samuel, Violet is the movie that made me realize that, as much as that was such a great opportunity for me as an actress to really express myself in that emotional sense of being that character, I realized I was so bored. It was just like, I didn't feel like I was acting the whole time. I just felt like I was being myself, not like as an actor when you get on set and you're like really committed to that role. It just didn't feel like a role. It just felt like I was just having a conversation at dinner with someone. So that was a little bit harder role. I like the ones where I can end up stabbing someone at the end of it. You know, I'll take the big dialogue if I can at least stab someone.
Yeah. Yeah. That should be like something in your contract. Like, I have to stab someone every serious conversation I have on screen.
And that's kind of interesting, because being on radio, you would think you would like to have those long drawn out like
but the thing is those aren't scripted.
This is true.
Yeah. I have a horrible memory. And just real quick, Daniel's saying hi and giving Amber a huge internet hug.
So that's actually the director and creator of the film Parallels is right. Daniel. Yeah.
Yeah, and we have that trailer. We're gonna play that about the halfway point. So how old, I don't know how old you are now, but was that year? What year was that you got started getting involved in this stuff?
2015. And I just kind of went really crazy with it up until 2019. And I was like, okay, I'm going to, in the middle of 2019, I was like, I'm going to take like a little 6 month sabbatical, because I've just been go, go, go. I've been filming or working, modeling or performing or something. I was like, I just need to sit down and recharge my creative batteries. And then my 6 months turned into a pandemic, which turned into trying to get back on my feet, which I decided this year was really a go-getting driving force. I've done a couple projects here and there, but nothing too big besides Parallels. But this year is different turnaround for that. So
nice. So yeah, that kind of took off quickly for you though. That's good. I mean, there must be like a really good, like, independent film community in your area.
Yeah, I'm pretty lucky. I'm here in Cleveland, Ohio. We have a really big film community. It stretches all the way down to Columbus. We have the all the different colleges here, and definitely the Kent State Theater program and all those programs down there, which one of my side projects is I donate my time to the Kent State film students to work on their projects with them. So then that way they have more of an experienced actor on set to work with so that they can really do everything that they've been trained to do. So it's not just like having some kid from their class also sit there where they actually have like an experienced someone on set. And some of my best work has come from student films because those kids just are just so brilliant. They haven't been burnt out by the world.
Oh yeah, yeah. they haven't been let down yet.
Yeah.
So, don't worry, it'll come.
It'll come.
Eventually you'll get there. But yeah, no, that's pretty awesome that you donate your time to that. That's great.
So did you always, you said you got into radio first, but when you were younger, did you ever have that plan of going the, you know, movie route before, or it just kind of, okay, I'll try it. It's something new.
Yeah. Never had that plan ever once. Never even knew how I could get involved in something like that or move forward or anything. Just landed in my lap and I was like, let's give this a try. And then I realized how fun it was and the different projects I could work on and the creative outlet that it had given me. And then I thought I did so much, not only in front of the camera, but then I started working behind the camera, from everything to holding the sound to script supervisor, PA, assistant director, even stepping in and writing and directing my own stuff too. So
that's awesome.
From all the people we had on, it sounds like an independent film at that point in time where you kind of have 15 different hats on that you kind of learn as you go, learn the trade. What, in essence, to tell you the truth, it's probably, you know, better that way because then you learn the whole encompass, like you learn a little bit of everything. So then you eventually you want to write and direct and stuff and you learn it through the grapevine at that point in time instead of kind of just picking up from scratch. You kind of learn it as you go. So I guess in one way it's hard because you got to do 15 different things, but then also you learn as you go. So
yeah. I think my greatest learning experience was I was on the set of White Boy Rick, and the scene that I was in, the way that they had to film part of it was over the main character's shoulder. And if you've ever been on a film set, then you know that whatever is in front of you is now disappeared, and that's where the camera crew is. They didn't have anywhere for me to stand, so I had to just stand, like I was kind of in frame, but then I had to step back out of frame, so I had to still be there. But I ended up standing next to all the crew, and I learned about the camera that they were using. And I learned about the way that they were running this light to this and the way this camera was set up to focus on this and the way this camera was there. And it was just a free learning experience. It also didn't help that I was standing there with a bunch of guys in a little bikini. And I'm like, how does that work? You know, but it was such a great learning opportunity. And then being there with them gave me a little bit of an opening with the director who was over there directing, like how he wanted me to stand, how he wanted my face to turn in the shot specifically and stuff like that. So I was able to then see how he was working and how he was positioning people. And I got to see all the gears moving at once basically and explained how each one's fit neatly into one another, which was a great learning experience.
Yeah. So yeah. I just took a little note that if I ever try to get on set again, I just wear a bikini and yes. See how it goes. But I won't get escorted out of the building. Go ahead, Tony.
I was going to say, it's crazy how whenever people want, from this podcast, learn different things that I never thought before. Like before this podcast, when I watch a movie, I watch it completely different than I do now. Just learning the innards. You think you know what you see, but you have no idea. So it's just crazy how it's like, okay, this thing works off this. And if you don't really know the tricks of the trade, which still we're green to it. I mean, we know a little bit more than we did before, but even now we still don't know the magic and stuff that goes on or the trials and tribulations where it's like, you know, certain things had to be certain,
especially for independent film. Like it's really, I mean, it's a different game altogether for independent film. Cause someone that we both know, Patrick, that was a part of the Dorkening for a while, part of like Splash Pages on the network. He was out of work because of the pandemic and he ended up answering an ad to be like a PA or whatever. He's never done it before. He keeps learning, but these are like big Hollywood movies. He was just able to meet the right person and he just would do whatever it took to get the job done that day. And they keep calling him for stuff. And they've been filming a lot of like bigger Hollywood stuff in Massachusetts. So he's made out like a bandit, you know?
That's how it works. You just gotta meet the right person and I don't want to say that even from Hollywood to independent that it's a click, but it's a click. Unless you're just really, really good, you're more likely to get the role because you know someone already on the
right.
set.
You know? That's the thing is you know, like they already know that how you work and you already work well with them, stuff like that. So it would be smart to call you up again. You know, that would definitely be smart. If I was to make a horror movie or a movie in general, I have some friends that are actors and I'd be like, get over here. You know, I'm not even going to like this people. I'm like, yep, this guy can do it. I know he can.
Well, that's the thing. We've talked to some people where they'll like when they write, they have a certain person in mind for that role because they work with them before. And it's like, I didn't really write it. Well, okay. I wrote it for you kind of deal. And then there's other people that are like, I didn't write it for anybody, but they just fit the bill like 100%. So it kind of goes both ways, I guess.
Yeah, no, I totally get it. And you know what? Everyone rags on Rob Zombie. He's like, why does he always got to cast the same people?
Oh, his wife. Why does he have to cast his wife all the time? She's not great.
But I'm going to say this. As someone who's casting for a film right now, he doesn't have to sit through hours of emails of people submitting things for these roles. He's like, just get in there and do what I tell you. So.
Yeah. And we've had some people on the show that have worked with him. So it's, you know, Sid Haig was on the show once and we had Robert Mukes, who was the tow truck driver in House of 1,000 Corpses.
Oh, nice.
He's a great dude. He is gigantic, very intimidating, but he's like such a nice guy and a good father and everything. He's really cool. Sergio's asking, because he always asks, and I don't blame him because it's a good question. But so horror, what are your favorites? Like what got you into horror? Like how long have you been into it?
So me and Chucky were born the same year. He came home from the hospital with me and my car carrier. So I grew up with that very much the 80s slashers, Friday the 13th and Jason, Michael Myers, all of them, of course, naturally. But those movies didn't scare me as a kid. It was more like the B-rated films, like The Blob scared the crap out of me as a child. Like those kind of films were like the scarier ones. And now as an adult, I still love horror and I find myself going back to like my classic horror that I really love. Haven't really been impressed a lot with a lot of the horror that's been released. It's really got to grab my attention. I am very interested to see this new Megan movie. I think
saw it the other day.
Yeah, I think that this one looks phenomenal. I'm very excited for a new Conjuring movie because I love anything ghost and creepy like that. So pretty much, I guess my horror taste is all over the place, I guess.
Yeah. Well, mine too. Tony's too. Like, I love a lot of like foreign horror. Like, I have to be in the right mood though. If I have to read subtitles, I have to be in the right mood, you know?
Yeah.
But there's a lot of just really great stuff out there. A lot of the foreign horror ends up getting remade as American movies, but they're never as good, you know?
Right.
And same thing with the movies like The Blob. like movies like The Blob, that original one for the like The Blob was out in like the 50s or something. So it's like, you know, they just remake it. And then, you know, there's other movies that are based off the same story kind of deal. And it doesn't mean they're bad movies.
Right. Yeah. I don't know. I'm wearing my Jaws. I have a Jaws shirt on right now.
Oh, nice.
Like I go
that's
back
my neck to, of the woods. That's over, yeah, like, it's over here.
Like I go back to like this movie all the time. I go back to, I have a Jurassic Park shirt underneath it. Like that's like, I could sit there and watch all those movies in one sitting just because that's like, it's almost so scary and like realistic that it's going to happen. And I'm deathly scared of aliens. I swear aliens are really going to happen. We will not be able to outrun them. I am prepared for any type of apocalypse. Aliens, I'm just going to be like, okay, this is it.
See, that's the thing with Jaws too. It's like, maybe the movie itself wasn't scary, but tell me you're not in like a little bay of water or something, or even a swimming pool, yes, and think that there's something behind you and there's, yes, like, and you're like, there's nothing in here, but I just keep on turning around. So with Jaws, it's like those people I see, like they do a screening on a like a big screen and the people are in the middle of the lake. I'm like, I would not be able to do that. Like in my mind, I know there's nothing there. But then also in my mind, it's like Jaws is going to come up and eat me through this tube. And it's just like, it's just so like out there. But you mentioned Jurassic Park, and that's one of my top three favorite movies of all time. So
yeah, one of mine. But like, I think what scares me even more about Jaws is it was based off of a true story too. Yeah. So like, that's like, when you just watch it back and you just know that like something like that, I mean, of course it's exaster, like, for the
yeah,
film,
they make know? It way grand. Well, it was, like, a, it more was grandioso a, than the reality.
Right.
It was like a bull shark, and then it was like it went down a river and all that. So it was a little, over the top, but
yeah. This I think they play homage to it when the boys are in the canal with the little boat, and then the other sailboat, and the shark comes up and eats that sailboat. I think that's paying homage to the original story right there in that.
And then I think they pulled a bull shark out of the water the first time, and they're like, oh, well, this wouldn't be able to do that, but it actually was that kind of shark. So
yeah.
Yep.
So Daniel's asking a question. Yes, Daniel, you can ask questions. If questions are allowed, yes, they are. I would like to ask, what aspect of horror do you think are growing as well as we are close to halfway in this generation? What aspect do you think are failing to meet the bar? So that is a good question. The one thing that, like, okay, so first off, I know we mentioned it last week. I've been mentioning it every week since, but even though clowns are kind of played out, I'm glad that Terrifier did so great, and I loved Terrifier 2. I'm glad it did so great for it, just for independent filmmakers. It's a huge open door. I just went to see Skinamarink in the theater week, and it was way better in the theater.
Was it?
Yeah, way better in the theater. We watched it. I don't know if you have you heard of Skinamarink, Ember?
No, I haven't.
It's a weird one. It's out there.
I've never seen anything like it before.
There's no character development at all. There's no story, but it's all
like, it plays with like, your mind.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. There's like all this like static, and you're trying to see what's in the static, and then things change, and then whatever. But it's we had the woman who plays the mom in Skinamarink. She was on the show a few weeks back or so, and we watched it, and I liked it a lot in the theater. Like to see the jump scares, like to see them hit, I was like, this is awesome. Like there was a film director there that I know who does horror, and his popcorn went flying at one point in that movie. I went with Angel hadn't seen it. He jumped a few times. The last time I was at a theater where it was like dead silent, the whole movie was Blair Witch Project. So, but that's the thing is like, so this is like it cost $15,000 to make this movie. Because it started getting some hype, they got picked up by IFC, and it's going to be released on Shudder as an exclusive. And, they did like a one weekend, just like Terrifier. Well, Terrifier ended up spreading it out to multiple weekends because it did so great, but that's huge, you know, but as far as like things that are going well, I would say, I mean, like you had mentioned, you're kind of a fan of all the subgenres as well. I mean, there's a lot of like pretty gory stuff out there that's been hitting the mark for me over the last, you know, maybe not the last couple years, like besides Terrifier 2. But even going back to, we were talking about Ellie Church and Brian K. Williams earlier, and going back to like Headless, stuff like that, where it was just like, oof, this is brutal, you know?
Yeah.
I can't show this to anyone. Like, they're going to think I have a problem.
I think really what I'm trying to think of, like a safe Brian movie to show someone that you don't have to like get them therapy afterwards.
Well, Space Babies from Outer Space.
Oh, that's one of his comedy ones. Yeah.
Yeah. And that one, that theme song just stuck in your head. You know? Space Babies from Outer Space. But anyways, I think, for me, it's more so the independent stuff that's really hitting. I can't really say a subgenre for myself. Nothing has really scared me in a long time. The last movie that really creeped me out was probably Terrified, not Terrifier, which is like I believe it's like a Spanish movie that Del Toro was supposed to remake, but I guess it's not happening now. But that one just creeped me right out. What about you, Tony? Is there anything that you think over the like the since, you know?
It's tough just because I've seen so much, and I don't want to say I'm. Like me, for the top is still Exorcist for me, is always. So I've never really had that kind of scare. The one movie, Last Shift, that one creeps me out at certain points. I'm trying to think because.
Yeah, it's for me, that's most of, besides watching dumb stuff on YouTube, that's pretty much all I watch. You know, I'm a fan of everything. Like movie wise, but I tend to go back to horror just because I know it's a good time, mm-hmm. and I don't necessarily have to be completely, with the exception of movies with subtitles, which MK Ultra Hiking and Gear Review had mentioned that he's a big fan of subtitles. I am too, but I have to be in the right moment and I have to leave my phone on the other side of the house. Cause if I'm like, oh crap, I can play Candy Crush again, you know? And I think you corrected me last week on the release date of House, the Japanese movie, and I just got this in the mail. I'm gonna zoom in. I'm gonna have to refocus, but see, it's an enamel pin from the movie House, which is definitely one of the weirdest movies I've ever seen in my life. So yeah, I'm a fan of Japanese horror as well. It tends to go a little over the top, yeah, but in a good way. Like And then they remake them in the U.S. and they're like The Ring, for as good as it is. The original was better.
And for a lot of stuff.
Yeah. I don't know what it is about Japanese movies, but they just love ripping off genitals and turning them into weapons.
Yeah.
Well, that's the one thing that is,
it's crazy a Sunday, right? Might as well.
As crazy as some is, where it's like, okay, like the rules and regulations of some places, like usually Japanese movies just go like all out. And then once you get over here, it's like a watered down version, but then other places too, it's like the craziest things are the ones that are like banned. It's like that movie's banned here, but you could do, I don't know. It's weird.
Yeah.
Every
Texas Chainsaw Massacre was banned everywhere. Like in pretty much every other country for a really long time. And there's no gore in it at all. Mm. You know, then you have people making like movies right alongside of it that are like over the top crazy. And it's just like Texas Chainsaw Massacre is banned. Huh? Like, I don't get it, but whatever. That's still one of my favorites, if not my favorite.
Now, I got a question. Going into, you have a whole lot of credits under your name and all different styles of, you know, acting, whether it is makeup effects or an assassin or anything along those lines. Do you have to go into the roles completely different, or is it kind of the same approach to something? You just got to turn it up or turn it down for certain roles, or how does that work?
So for the one where I'm the assassin, I play Bunny. I'm a silent assassin in that one. I was in the gym with the directors, like learning stunts, learning how to properly fall, learning how to do point A to point B, which actually, fun fact, in that film, I broke my hand like 2 weeks before we started filming.
Oh, I thought you broke it on set. I was like,
And I had a stunt double through most of that film. Anything that's like serious fighting, she did for me. Absolutely. Ruby was amazing. She came in and learned everything, like phenomenal. And like the scene where I'm creeping behind the guy and I like snap his neck, my hand is broken in that. And I refused to have them cast it because I was like, I have to still be in scenes. Like I can't have a cast. So I have like a removable, like, it's like shield thing that like I take off, and like that's like my hand is so stiff. I'm like, and then like the scene, I was like, oh my god!
So like everything's fine though. You hold your hand up, and your pinky's just like shooting that way now.
Yes, but that one was like months of like mental training. 10:15 Holly Grove Lane. I got the role 18 hours before I was supposed to film because the original person that was casted for it dropped out. She just decided that she didn't like the nature of the film because it is a little bit of a rougher nature. Mm. I got the script and they're like, we're doing this in 18 hours. Can you be on set and have, and I have some pretty decent dialogue in that one. They're like, can you have it memorized? I was like, I don't know. We'll give it a try.
Let's give it a shot.
Parallels that I did, that was the one I mostly prepared for. I did body modifications for that. I lost all my, I stopped working out to a point where I wasn't like toned or anything. So I lost all my muscle definition and everything like that. So there's scenes where I lift my arms from laying in the bed and I wanted it to have that like flabby, like
the wings. Yeah, the wings.
Yep. I wanted that like look, and even though you don't really see my legs a whole lot in the film, the random moments that you do see them, they're not tight and muscular. You can definitely tell that like I've been laying down for a while. And then with that one, I also like I let my skin get really gross. I let my teeth get so gross. Like I really went into it. And then I also worked with a dance instructor that taught me how to contort my body for the other part of that film, where I had to like throw my legs over my head and crawl and stuff like that. So that was like biggest thing that I had to like mentally prepare for to go into.
So Tony, we have an excuse now. If someone gives us crap, we're like, we're just preparing for a role. That's why we're not toned.
Well, at that point in time,
preparing my whole life.
What once you just said, put your, it reminded me of The Exorcist, and that was the one, that little spider.
The spider walk, yeah.
Still creeps me out to this day. So
yeah.
I'm just thinking about that, and I'm like, oh, okay. Now I'm not going to be able to sleep. I'm going to see it on the ceiling and stuff.
I'm sure Dan actually has it in his like back stuff somewhere, but when I was working with the dancer, the personal dancer, and I had just learned how to like creepily crawl. I was like, let me send him a video. And I didn't even send any context. I just sent this creepy video of me like crawling. I'm like, what do you think of this?
He's like, sold.
So, yeah.
But that's Parallels. And speaking of Parallels, we do have the trailer for that. So you want to just give a little, I know you can't say too much, but what can you say about the movie that we're maybe won't see in the trailer?
Basically, it's going to follow a family that has made some mistakes that comes back to bite them in the butt very badly. Some poor unfortunate souls get sucked into the madness, and you got to just find out if they make it out or not.
Cool. All right. Here's the trailer for Parallels.
I found the gate that leads to the outside, by which the ancient ones, whoever seek entrance to our world, keep eternal watch. When the gates open, I'll cause the dead to rise and devour the living. I'll give the dead power over the living, so that they may outnumber the living.
Hmm.
Well, that answers my next question. I was going to ask when it's coming out, but it's this fall.
It's
maybe, actually, maybe not. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's like with the perks and everything. So we did a whole fundraising thing, and the people that bought the Blu-rays and the DVDs, they're going to be receiving theirs within the next couple months. So,
oh, wow.
Yeah. And Dan has been very greedy and has been holding on to the film and hasn't let any of the cast members see it. Yeah, I said it, Dan. But
oh, wow.
I'm like super excited to see it. The people that have gotten to view it just say it is just so well done, very well put together.
You haven't seen it yet.
No, I haven't. And I'm dying to see it. We've gotten to see like a lot of like the behind the scenes stuff that was put together and a lot of that stuff, which has been pretty cool, but I cannot wait to see the film. But yeah, that has been my biggest one, and I kind of have been a little bit silent in the film community and haven't really done much because I've put all my effort into that one. But since that one's getting ready to come out and go into the world and do what it's going to do, I feel like I can move forward and start working on other projects now. But it's going to be really hard to leave that one behind. Like, it's probably one of my greatest filming and toughest filming experiences to date.
Well, so he's saying that he still has those videos of you walking creepily and that he loved it. And then Jeremy Courtney is saying that looks dope. He's right. And then what else we have? So Daniel's saying that's releasing ASAP for backers and then taking it to festivals. For as much as I enjoy the whole festival thing, it just means that it's going to be even longer till I can see it.
Yes.
You know? But Daniel, when you're getting closer to the point of like release, definitely let us know. And, you know, we can have you come back on with whoever. Ember can come on, other cast members or whatever, and we can talk about it. But yeah, we would totally be down. So just keep us in mind.
That's the one thing you see certain thing. I had never been to an actual festival, but they did have, especially
been the
during
one.
The pandemic, they had those like
virtual
online things, virtual things, and you would be able to buy into it. And I did one of them. I forget what it was. And there was a few, and it's just like, okay, I saw it now. Now I want like to be able to, me as a collector, being like physically own it. It's like some never see the light of day from there. And then some, it takes a while, but it's just like,
yeah.
Being a film fan, it's just tough. But
the Midwest Horror Fest, I remember sitting down and I was like, okay, I'm gonna watch a movie, and I watched this great feature, and I turned around and I walked right up to the booth, and I was like, I will take one of those, please. This was a great feature. I would like to watch this again. So I totally understand it. But I'm with you in the same point. I'm like, oh, does it really have to go to a festival? Like, can we just
premiere? I get it though. You're looking for distribution and stuff like that, right? So in order for it to get to us, Tony, yeah, unless it's all privately, distributed or distributed. How am I saying this wrong? Through the filmmakers. That's the best option of getting like picked up.
But I will say this one, I really want to go to festivals. I am not the type of person who's like, give me awards, but I'm like, I modified my flipping body. I better get nominated for something. And I have some great emotional scenes against the actor, Jason Kroll. Oh my God. The scenes that me and him got to do together, just thinking about it, I have goosebumps. Like he is a phenomenal actor too, but he doesn't get to really play like the hard hitting roles either. And this was like his first time doing it. And he really threw himself all in the role. And like, he's a very committed method actor too. So working alongside of him, like when he gets into his role and getting ready to shoot his scene, he needs a quiet on set, which gives me the opportunity to like get myself focused, opposed to when you're on a lot of independent scenes, you have people that are friends. So there's like laughing over here, and then the light people are scuffling their feet over here. When Jason got on set, it was very quiet and we were all able to focus, and he just got like pulled himself in this dark emotional zone, which gave the ambience for the entire set, which was able to just zone in and focus on what we needed to focus. We have a very, very emotional scene in the beginning where he does all the talking and I'm very non-responded to him, and just having to lay there and have all this emotion poured over me and give zero response was so hard, because he is just so, when he gets in it, he's just a method actor. He really goes full force with it. So
So Sergio, of course, missed the trailer somehow, but yeah, Daniel gave him the hookup, told him how to find it on YouTube. Like, for real, like, he must have just like, I have to pee, I can't wait. And then it's like, as soon as he got up, I'm like, let's play the trailer. And then we have Jamie Hill is in the room. I mentioned her earlier. She's the mom in Skinamarink. So congrats on that, Jamie. And looking forward to seeing it on Shudder as well. And I don't know if it's going to be in theaters at all anymore, if it's just like a limited thing. I highly recommend, if you had a chance to see it in the theaters, you missed it, it's your fault. Because it's even more intense in the theaters.
Yeah, just because it's one of those, like we said, it's one of those, something I've never seen before, and it's more your mind than anything else. Because it's like, is there something, or...
She's saying, just real quick, Jamie's saying, thanks, loving your stories, Ember. So, yeah.
She made me blush, actually. I don't know if you can see. I saw that. I was like, ooh.
That's funny. Oh, yeah. And actually, Daniel's saying, can't wait to see, to watch Skinamarink. Thanks for joining tonight. Yeah. It's going to be on Shudder eventually. I'm not sure when, but yeah, I'm a loyal Shudder subscriber, and they always have the cool stuff, you know?
I was with Shudder when it was free, when it was, you know, not cool to be part of the Shudder family. Well, I watched some really cool, crazy, I don't even remember the name of them, films on Shudder that just like forever sink in your mind. Like, what is this?
There's some weird stuff on there. Some like really like even classic, like Italian films and stuff like that, that obviously I never would have heard of growing up. Like old stuff from like the 60s and 70s. And I'm like, this is crazy. I'm like, I've never even heard of this before in my life. But Jamie's saying that Shudder in February is when Skinamarink. So coming up soon. That's good.
But the one thing too with that is there's a lot, like their exclusives. There's a lot of really cool stuff. Like we had a couple of the guys from the Mortuary Experiment, was it? I can't even think of the name. It's
Mortuary Collection.
Collection. We had them on for, it's like a anthology film. Then they had a movie called Scare Package, which the second one just came out. Those are anthology films that are awesome. So there's a lot of really cool stuff on
there's Shudder, other things too. Like you have like there's like that horror makeup show. Like it's all like drag, you know, people that are in drag. I think Dragzilla, I think is what it's called or something like that. And it's like legit. I was like, oh, I'm going to check this out for an episode. And then I was like, I'm already done with like two seasons. Like I've just done nothing but watch this all day. Hence me not being toned.
See? Speaking back around of the, you know, makeup and stuff. A lot of your work in the shorts, you had to get up and did you ever like think of doing it yourself, or like how does you know, did it?
So yeah, I actually do a tiny bit of horror special effects makeup. I am horrible at it, but I enjoy doing it. Trying to think, I really don't have anything out. I did a mermaid in a music video once for one of my friends' rave bands, but that's pretty much it. Nothing too big or anything like that. I more enjoy being the one receiving the makeup portion of it.
Yeah. I like watching it. Like that show Face Off, I used to watch that like religiously, and I'm like, oh my God, people have so much talent. It's crazy. It's awesome, but
It's crazy, and I'm sure you guys get this now too. When you're talking, I call the normies, the people who aren't in like the film community or anything like that, the viewers, as we call them. And then they're like, I just love the show Face Off. And then you're like, yeah, my friend blah, 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 blah has been on that show. And they're just like, what? And you're like, yeah, because you just don't realize how many normal people out there are going to the regular, like.
I know a couple people that.
Doing makeup at night.
I know a couple people that went to the Tom Savini school and like they work on independent films, stuff like that. And actually that Deadly Grounds ad I played at the very beginning, there was a Deadly Grounds roast for, I forget his last name, maybe it was Tyler something, but he had his own roast through Deadly Grounds at one point. And here's the sad thing. I just had to give up coffee.
Oh, no.
I'm an intense coffee drinker for years and years and years, but I had to. Anyways, I'll just live through the ad. I think this is funny because this is, you know, if we only had two things in my household, it would be the same thing. MK Ultra is saying that Shudder and Hallmark is all he subscribes to. My wife is all about Hallmark. And you know what's weird too is you have like some horror like actors and actresses that pop up on Hallmark movies. Like Dee Wallace has been in a bunch of them.
So I am a huge fan of the show One Tree Hill. Mm-hmm. And those three ladies that are like the main characters have recently started a podcast where they watch the show and then they talk about what it was like being on set, what it was like being a female actress during that time, what it was like just in general filming around that show and everything that they were talking about. And that was like one of the things that they talk about is how Hallmark Christmas movies are mm-hmm. the bread and butter of the film industry now. And if you're not doing a Hallmark Christmas movie, then you have not made it as an actor. And I'm over here like looking on Backpage, like, got any Hallmark
movies for me? The thing is, too, is it's the same movie over and over again, but people, my wife keeps watching them. But who did we just have on, Tony, that was also in Hallmark movies or Lifetime movies? She was in Beatle Boop, she was in Weekend at Bernie's.
Oh, Catherine Marie Stewart?
Yes. I always forget her name.
From Night of the Comet. Yeah,
and Weekend at Bernie's and a bunch of other stuff. And what was that other one where they were in the mall? I forget. Anyways, my memory's shot. Too many prescribed meds. That's what it is. It is prescribed meds.
But to tell you the truth, too, with the Hallmark movie, like we always talk of horror being like the genre because it has cons and stuff. Now they have a Christmas con.
Yeah, they
I'm guessing in there, you know, if you get a con for yourself, because there's no rom-com con or anything like that. So you have a horror movie con and then you have your Christmas movie con.
Imagine the cosplaying at a rom-com con, just a bunch of people like strapped to each other's backs, like just so they can lean against the wall because that's all their posters. But anyways, Sergio's asking what's next. Like, what do you have coming up besides Parallels? What else? Anything else that you're excited about?
I'm actually working on my next short that I wrote. It was actually as I'm like throwing out so many sentences at once, let me finish one here. Mm-hmm. I had wrote a 3-page short and it was so like right into it, didn't have really any meat, but I pitched it to a producer and I was like, what do you think about this? And he's like, can I just sit down with the script and see what I can do? And then took it and turned it into this phenomenal, meaty, crazy, so much bigger than what I could imagine story. And we are actually in pre-production for that right now. So it's called No Loose Ends. We are casting for it right now for a couple roles that need to be filled. And then we are filming in June and hopefully it will be out by this fall if all goes well. It is kind of without trying a PSA to the gun violence and how even if you are in the best of areas and surrounded by the most trustworthy people, it's going to, It can come around the corner to you any which time and day. I wasn't trying to make it that, but then it just turned out to be something because all the extra meat that Adam Michaels added for me just really like when I got done reading the script, I sat back and I was like, can I make this? Like, is this gonna like be pushing the envelope?
Are you going to be directing it as well, or?
So I'm going to let him direct it, and I'm going to be the assistant director, mainly because I don't want him to focus on what's going on all over here. I need him to focus on what's in front of him, and I want to be the one that focuses on everything else from point A to point B. I've been the director, and I feel like when you're the director of your project, you don't really get to make decisions. And by the time you are making a decision, you don't have the full story leading up to why that decision is being brought to you. You just have you have a sound guy coming up to you here, or a PA guy coming up to you here, because your focus is directly on what's in front of you, what's on that camera screen. From there, as the assistant director, you have to you leave your director up to see the picture here, but you're taking in the full picture here. Mm-hmm. So you're getting in more of the surrounding and stuff, which I'm better at. So I'm definitely, my ADHD is A plus right then and there, because I'm like snapping my head like a squirrel and taking it all in. So
that's funny. Yeah, so that's awesome. Let us know when that is, where you're at on that. And by all means, like, if you ever want to come back on, it's been awesome talking to you. So where can people go to follow you on your social medias and whatnot?
So I do have an IMDb. It doesn't have my picture up right now, but you'll definitely notice it's me because I am tagged in a ton of pictures on it. But it's Ember Burns. From my IMDb, you're going to be able to find so much stuff on YouTube that's free. There's even so much more stuff that I've been in that I didn't send you guys to view. I just wanted to kind of send you more of the, like, the better ones to watch, I guess, that showcased a little bit of each of the different things that I've done out through my career. Mm-hmm. But, so through that, you'll find everything through there. Parallels is a Facebook group that you can go in and you can see so much behind the scenes stuff. And the director has been very good about keeping so much stuff under wraps, but has not, has been very good about also releasing a lot of really cool stuff in the process too.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah. MK Ultra was asking if you have a MySpace.
Oh, you know what? I think I deactivated my MySpace because everyone's like, you can Google your MySpace and find pictures, but I can't find anything for my MySpace. So I think, yeah, I deactivated it.
Oh, well, I would take it back if I could play Mafia Wars still. That was what I did with my time on MySpace. Plus all the other stupid animated GIFs, and it takes forever to load a page because everyone's building like Homer's website. But are you on Instagram or anything like that?
Where I am. Follow you? EB Model on Instagram. I'm very naked on there, so you'll be able to find me. You'll be able to see all of my tattoos that I have.
I thought I had found you on Instagram, and I send you a friends request, but I don't know if it was the right person. So I might be friends with someone else with a similar name soon.
So there are two Instagrams out there. I did have one hacked, which I told you about, Tony, and I sent you the link to the correct one. So there is some really old work out there that I wish I could scrub from the internet, but it's there. And what are you gonna do? Everyone growing up, because I'm from the generation where, like, your grandma was like, don't put your face on the internet, it's there forever. And I'm like, you know what?
Yeah.
If I'm 80 years old and I can Google a picture of my 20-year-old butthole and smile because I had a great 20-year-old butthole at that point, I'm cool with that, you know?
Fair enough.
The thing, too, now it's just – back then it was – I mean, the only way to get seen now is to be on the internet kind of deal, just because it's so vast nowadays. You kind of got to have your face a little everywhere or you'd be lost in the fold. Back then it was only – so much, and then it's like, okay, well, now I see, but now it's just like everywhere where it's like I gotta have a Facebook and a YouTube, especially if you want to get into certain, you know, like acting or anything like that. You gotta have a little something, a Twitter, an Instagram, a TikTok, a YouTube or whatever, just to at least get a chance to be seen. So
Yeah, and I really give it up to you to have the following that you do on TikTok, because I, you know, was into it for a little bit, trying to do a video every single day and being very interactive. And then I was just like, I don't really have a niche on TikTok. I occasionally throw up a video every once in a while and very random from one to the next. In all actuality, I just consider it like a little photo album, just of videos to go back and watch silly things at this point. So
yeah, with me, it's just like people, especially now, gaining a little following, but they're like, oh, thank you for bringing back the nostalgia and all that stuff. And I'm like, listen, I'm just a guy who collects movies, who likes to talk about movies,
and whatever. Has to constantly tell people that physical media isn't dead. And that it's better than streaming in multiple ways.
Definitely. But how many people come in? Yeah, it's like so many people come in, they're like, get with the times. I'm like, get with the times. It's like, what are you talking about?
When you buy a movie on Amazon, 9 times out of 10, you don't get all the deleted scenes. You don't get all the special features. You don't get the extended, like, 25 minutes added to the film. You get what they put out in the theater, and that's it.
Right.
Yeah.
And people, I mean, it's always, there's many reasons why I collect, you know, it's a little, I mean, some good and some bad, just because it's like a collector's mind in this, but it's like, I grew up in the Blockbuster days of going in, picking up a physical copy, looking at it. Like, it's the same thing with CDs. It's just a different feeling to, okay, let me pick up my remote, click, 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 click. It's like, you don't get the same feeling. So a lot of this new generation, they don't understand that, which I, you know, I try to give my 2 cents, but it's still, oh, you're old, you're this, you get with the time. So I get a little bit.
I'm the oldest
of
person here, so if anyone's old, it's me. I had 8 tracks when I was growing up. But anyways, on that note, so Tony, where can people follow you on your ever expanding TikTok? Tony has 9 fingers, right?
You can find me at Tony Has 9 Fingers on YouTube, which I do. I got to get a little bit more into it, but you know. I'm sidetracked with TikTok. So anyway, YouTube, Tony Has 9 Fingers. I got a whole bunch of reviews and unboxings. Anything with my collection was up there. Twitter, Tony Has 9 Fingers. Tony Has 9 Fingers on TikTok, which is I'm the most most active at this point in time.
You've gotten the most response out of everything you've tried.
Exactly. So that's why I continue to go with that. Tony's Movies on Instagram, where I show off the movies behind me, and I make sure I tag everybody in it with the actors, actresses, directors, and stuff. And they appreciate it, especially people in the indie industry. They're like, they don't get as much publicity as some. So I get, like, I just do it very simply, and they're like, oh, thank you very much for at least getting it out there that maybe... Yeah. Other people will see. So in essence, I see what they're coming from, but it's also me. It's like, it took me 5 seconds. It's no big deal for me.
Well,
so.
But that's the thing, is I've seen other TikTokers that do a similar thing to you, but it's always like the big Hollywood, big budget stuff that they talk about. So everyone's doing that. Great. Why don't we talk about something that's different? But anyways, so
And then of course here on the Wicked Horror Show every Tuesday, whether it's an awesome guest or we sit here and talk horror movies. So either way, and the other thing I want to say all the time, make sure you come into the lives, because not only will you get to interact and ask questions and stuff, but you get to see the trailer, like parallels and stuff like that. You mean,
yes, Sergio.
You can hear it, but it's a little bit different. So definitely, we appreciate everybody who listens to us, but definitely come in live on Tuesday so you can interact. It makes it that much more fun. And, yeah. So Kevin.
Yeah, it is weird. Like there's people that I've met that have listened to the podcast, because we get like a lot of interaction through the audio podcast side, but they've never watched the video. I'm like, check out the video. Like we go live every week at 9 o'clock. Like it's not
remember
hard.
We have the faces for radio is what I That's always true. Say. Whenever I go live, I switch the camera. They're like, oh, we finally see your face. I'm like, yeah, I got that face for radio.
I apologize.
So I'm like, don't sue me, please. I don't want to break your camera or anything like that. But I think it's more, that's how I started with you guys, was the live video. So it's just that more interactive and stuff. So definitely I encourage everyone to watch us live.
Yeah.
So, and then listen to us.
Yeah, yeah. So for me, just A Knuckle on Instagram, besides doing this show with Tony and other guests, hosts from time to time, I also am part of Black and White Fright and Violence Buffet. And then there's a new podcast that's coming out called The Reeducation of Nancy Ann Ritter. Nancy Ann Ritter was in the original Scream movie back in 96. And she's got a little bit of a resurgence recently. And she's doing horror conventions and all this stuff, but she's not very well versed in horror because it scares her. So myself and my friend Jeremy, who was in the chat room a little bit earlier, are doing a podcast with her coming out sometime in February, where we're going to school her on some like classic horror up to like more current stuff. So that'll be fun. And also, I guess I'm part of That Strange Show from now on. So I'll be doing that from time to time. I don't know how often he releases episodes, but I think we're recording this weekend. So thanks for watching and listening, everyone. And if you're listening, come over and watch. And if you're watching, go listen. I don't know. That's about it. Thanks again. Good night. It's ending.